brief amount of time, hopefully successfully, talk about three things that we do over Pesach, and a little bit about why we do them in their nature. Three things we do, we're talking about to get rid of chametz, the three bets, which is our Vito, Vior, and Vito. We seem to do a lot of things to get rid of that chametz, right? We look for it, and we negate it, and beat verbally, and we burn it. So we're trying to figure out why we do all these three things here. Yeah, that's what I'm going to try to figure out. To take a step back, if you go back to the Torah, what does the Torah tell us about chametz? So the Torah seems to tell us three things also. Not that the three things, they match up. The Torah tells us not to eat chametz, right? That's one thing. The Torah tells us not to be in possession of chametz, a prohibition normally called bal yera or bal yimatzeh, because it says that sor lo yimatzeh, and they also lose lo yereh in the pasuk. Thirdly, there's a positive manifestation called tashbitu, right? Tashbitu, where the Torah says, tashbitu sarmi batechem, etc. Now, what exactly the positive manifestation of tashbitu is something we're going to discuss. So these are the various items we need to look at. What do these three Torah laws demand? And why do we do biur and bittul and bidik? Okay,
what is that? Is it bali yira? Is that what it says?
I'm sorry?
Bali yira?
Bal yira, bal yira. Bal yira. Let's start with tashbitu, actually. At least
bal yira.
If you could turn to Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph for 1 second. So with Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph.
Tashbitu. What is it? What beer is?
Beer is the burning. Okay. Let's look at the Mishnah and Chaf Aleph. Okay, I'm just going to plow through the first half of the Mishnah, which is irrelevant for us to get to the second. So the first Mishnah, the second paragraph of Sakhir says, Kol Shah Shemutar Lechol Machil, Kol Shah Shemutar Lechol, right, as long as you're allowed to eat chametz, Machil Beimah Lechayim Lechol, you can also feed it to your animals, Umocher Lenachri, you can sell it to an Andrew, Umocher, Umutar Bahanato, and it's Mutar to get benefit. Avar Zmano, Asur Bahanato, Below Yisikmo Tanur Bikar, fine. Now here comes the part I want to get to. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Biur Chametz, El Esreifo. What's the Yehuda's position? Biur chametz does not have a whole multitude of ways to do it. There is one way to do it. The way to do biur chametz is to burn. The Chachamim Omer, Af Mifarer V'Zover L'Ruach U'Matil L'Yach. What does Chachamim say? You can also get rid of it another way, so you don't have to burn it. Well, who says biur is burning? Biur is getting rid of.
Sure,
you can get rid of it by what it begins with the word af. Af here usually is also.
Is there one that says that's only?
Not that I'm aware of. Oh, you think if someone says there is another piercing here actually. That's interesting. Did you learn this once, Daniel?
Yeah.
Okay, Daniel's right. If you look on the right, I didn't notice this till the second. If you follow the asterisk to the right, it says Graf Alpha Siva Harash Leta Milat Af. If you look at the riff in the Rosh, the word af is lacking. Even if you take out the word af, he still has two options, right? Mifarer Bizor the Ruach, you scatter it to the winds, O Matilayam, you toss it in to the ocean. So even if you take out the word af, the Chachamim are not giving you a singular option. The assumption seems to be the Chachamim say you can get rid of it any way you want. Now here comes the key question. You could say this is debate. It revolves around having the limits of Tashmisa, where the Chachamim say, the Rabbi Yehuda says you have to specifically burn the chametz, and the Chachamim say you can scatter it any way you want. And maybe it's just a question, it's just a quantitative debate. Like, you could either do it one way or three ways, or one way or seven ways. But conceptually, there's a famous point that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik points out. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the one sefer that came out from his Torah in his lifetime was his Parash on the Rambam. So Reb Chaim says that, I'm not saying I should say that he worked on it, I'm not sure it actually came out in his lifetime, but the one that he actually wrote is Reb Chaim on the Rambam. He says there as follows. What's another way to understand the debate? Is it just quantitative? You can either destroy it one way or many ways? Okay, maybe there's another way to understand the debate. So he wants to say as follows. He wants to say, there's two ways to say what Tashmisu is. Why does the Torah say eradicate your chametz? It could just be a positive way of saying, don't have chametz. I mean, you could say, don't have chametz, and then you can use the positive form, get it out of your possession. And if you're saying that, what is Tashmisu essentially? Well, it is an active way of saying, don't have chametz. Conversely, you could say that Tashmisu is actually saying, no, there's an active thing one is supposed to do. One is supposed to fulfill this mitzvah of getting rid of the chametz. Not just not have it. What might be the implications? As a reply, maybe that's the difference between, that might be the difference between the position of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. If you understand that Teshpis was just saying, don't have chametz, so it doesn't make sense to talk about the right way to do it. I mean, what's the right way to get rid of your chametz? There's no getting rid of chametz isn't the issue. The issue is not having chametz. So that's why the Chachamim say, however you do it, you want to toss it in the toilet, you want to throw it in the ocean, I don't care. Any way you get rid of it is okay, because all Tashbisu is that, basically, according to the Reb Chaim of Soloveitchik's explanation, Tashbisu is just the same as Bal Yirah, just saying it in an active form. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, he wants to say, there's an active mitzvah called Tashbisu, which is fulfilled specifically through eradicating. Because this is Reb Chaim of Soloveitchik's idea. He uses it to explain one question, which I'll just raise very briefly. It's good to get a lot of general knowledge here. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, where is it? In Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel has the following interesting halacha. Okay. Perek Aleph. Let's just give you one piece of background information before we go. Usually to get, when the Torah gives you a prohibition, it doesn't give you a punishment. What's the standard punishment in halacha? For instance, don't do this. It doesn't tell you what the punishment is. So Malkum, lashes. But only when? It involves an action. Not a speech-based prohibition, not a verbal, not a thought-based prohibition, only an action prohibition. Okay, so you have a lot. What?
Speech doesn't have the dinner.
Speech for this purpose is not called an action. Yeah, you can talk question hara, you will not get Malkut. Okay? Or you might get. Not recommending it, just you will not get Malkut. Okay. So you look in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says something very interesting. Parakal Hokum.
Ego loka, we should. Wait, where is this in?
You don't get lashes for Bali Rab Bali Matzah, for owning chametz. Ela imkein kana chametz for Pesach. Unless what you do? You buy it. Oh, timso. Kadesh Yasubo Masa. What's the other way to do this? It's like a lot of trivia. How can one get malchus for owning chametz on Pesach? So there are two methods. Either you can go to the store and buy some entrance, right? Or you can bake it. Ah. But let's say you had chametz before Pesach. Uba Pesach below biaro, and Pesach comes and you didn't destroy it. Elohim yichol b'rishuto. All you do is leave in your property. Afal pisha aval shnei labin. Even though you violate two prohibitions, you buy it by the line and say, "Ein elokem in ator v'nisher lo asa bel maseh." So what's the Rambam's position on this chametz matzah? Well, if you passively violate owning chametz, you didn't do an action. When you didn't do an action, he did not give you malkot. So to get malkot first, you can. It's not about violating; it's about getting malkot. To violate Bali Matzah, there's a thousand ways. I could just not get rid of my chametz before Pesach. But to get malkot for that, I need to actively get the chametz. I either have to acquire it on Pesach or bake it. Everyone okay so far? We got it so far? Okay, great. Now, what other halachic detail I shouldn't give this back? There's another case you don't get malkot. There's something called a lav hanitak lase. I don't know what a lav hanitak lase I mean. The Torah tells you how to fix the lav. For example, the Torah says in certain karbanot you're supposed to eat them, but don't let them wait overnight. So it says, lo tatiru mimenu ad boker. Don't leave them overnight. But then it says, right after lo tatiru mimenu ad boker, the hanota mimenu ad boker, if you do leave them overnight, the esh disrofu, then. So why would you not get malkut for such a lav? A lav hanita klase. The Torah already told you how to deal with it if you mess up. There's like a fix. There's a fixing clause. Right? All right, don't leave it over. If you do leave it over, burn it. And that takes care of the problem. There's like a backup plan, so to speak. That is called a not lav hanita klase. Okay, lav hanita klase is you deal with it by, you violate the lav, but you can fix it. The Torah is a positive way of fixing it. You shouldn't have left that carbon over, but you burn it and you take care of it. You no longer need malchut. Lav anita kasei, a lav that is appended to an asei. Okay, great. Now comes the point here. The Chaim Soloveitchik's point. There's a Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Tzadi Hei that suggests that Bal Yirah might be a lav anita kasei. Why would Bal Yirah be a lav anita kasei? Well, the Torah said, don't have chametz in your possession. But it also says, Tashkritu, eradicated. So maybe the way to understand that is, don't have chametz in your property, in your possession. I shouldn't say in your property, in your possession on Pesach. Yeah, if you want to find this, look at Shmot Yudbet. Look at Shmot Yudbet. Yeah.
If it falls in the category, you do get
malchus. No, lav mitakas, so you don't get malchus. Oh. I spoke just for general results, so I get the category. Another category we talked about before is a lav she'ein bo masa. A lav is not malchus. These cases, you don't get malchus. For a lav she'ein bo masa, or a lav anitak lase, you don't get malchus because the ase fixes the lav. Okay, here we go, guys. Okay, so you could in theory say that volume of volume say is a lav shein bo masa, not a lav shein bo masa. Sorry, a lav hanita lase. Don't do it, but if you do it, the Torah tells you how to fix it. I.e., burn the chametz on the third day of Pesach, and you've solved it.
Because it also says tashavichim.
Yes. So now you could quibble with that whether it's a lav hanita lase or not. But the Gemara Pesachim and Daf Tzadi Hei seems to explicitly say that it is. Now, if burning chametz on Pesach is a lav anita klase, then it becomes impossible to get malko. But the Rambam just told me I could get malko as long as I could find a positive way, a masa way to do it. So this is one of the questions of Chaim Soloveitch, I guess. So now he thinks he has a great answer, which relates to what we just said before. What did we say before? Think about Tashbisu for 1 second. From what perspective of Tashbisu would it not make sense to think of it as a lav hanitak lase? I'm going to say two perspectives on this. You get a good example of a little brisker Torah, guys, unless you've been curious all year what brisker Torah is. You can hear one right now. What were our two ways of understanding Tashbisu? Either Tashbisu was just an active way of saying, don't have chametz. Or Tashbisu is a, no, do something, do a positive. It's beyond just don't have chametz. Now, according to which understanding could you do it as a lav hanitak lase?
The first one. Do something positive.
Only the second way. If all Tashbisu was saying is, don't have chametz, so it's not an active deed I'm supposed to do. Right? It was just saying the same thing as Bali Rav Bali Matzei to begin with. Don't have chametz, get rid of it, i.e. don't have it. Where if Tashbisu was a positive commandment, there's something to be done to burn chametz, then you could view it as Lav Nitek Lase. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says as follows. Why did the Gemara Pesachim of Daf Tzadi Hei call it a lav nitak lase, because that was according to the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says Tashbisu is specifically burning. If you say specifically burning, it's a positive commandment. Then it could be an ase of a lav nitak lase. But the Rambam paskins like, and indeed he does, the Rambam paskins like the Chachamim. And if the Rambam paskins like that means you can get rid of the Chachamim any old way, which means Tashbisu is not a positive commandment. It's just another way of saying Bali Ras, and therefore it's not a lav anita klase, and that's why if you do a masa, you could get malko. This is a famous piece from Chaim Soloveitchik. If you want to see it inside, it's probably the easiest piece in this whole sefer. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. Okay, again, just to sum up what we just did, we had two ways of understanding Tashbisu. Either it's just a same thing as Bali Ras, it's just on the flip side, where I'll say to you, be careful, don't do anything foolish. And this is a good example. Well, I'll tell you, I say to my son, be responsible, don't dribble milk down your shirt on purpose. Right? So be responsible is not telling him to do anything active. It's just another way of saying, don't dribble milk down your shirt on purpose. Right? So that's one way to think of Tashbisu. So according to that way, we're saying you can get rid of any old way. That's the chacham, get rid of chametz wherever you want. We don't care. Right? Or, no, this is something specific you have to do. That's specifically burning it. Says the Rambam, that explains why, says Rav Chaim, that's why according to the Rambam, the only issue in Bali Ra is that it's a lav shein bo masa. It's not a lav anita klase, because Tashbisu was never an independent ase, it was just another way of saying it. Okay, that's it. I just mentioned one last idea. The Minchas Chinuch is a very famous sefer. Minchas Chinuch by Rav Yosef Babad is a commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch, although it moves in directions different enough that it's kind of a work in its own right. Sometimes commentaries become significant that people learn them not because they want to understand the major work, but they just want to read the commentary. So the Minchas Chinuch is like that. He, in the Mitzvah Tashbisu, which is Mitzvah, Mitzvah Tet, he suggests a radical suggestion, which even Rabbi Chaim didn't take it this far, which is, let's say it's a month before Pesach, and let's say I don't eat chametz all year. Let's say I'm allergic to, what's it called? Those people who are allergic to, not gluten. Is it gluten? Is that what it's called? Yeah. Okay, I'm allergic to gluten, so I don't have chametz all year. All year I just need vegetables. Right? Let's say I'm a I don't know. I'm only
vegetarian.
I'm a vegetarian to eat bread. I'm trying to think of a person who wouldn't have any chametz for whatever reason.
Crazy right? Health freaks.
All right, so you only eat...
Those hippies.
Right. Yeah, wasn't
that
Atkins
diet. All right. Okay. There you go. So, now it's on the Pesach. So it comes close to the Pesach. So I want to fill a bit of tashbisu. So what would you say to me? You could say, well, there's no mitzvah to fill. All there is not to have chametz. Right. So the way things, you're done. Look, you're dying all year. It's rendered Pesach preparation very easy for you. That's what we could say to such a person. That's true. The Minchas Chinuch raised the possibility maybe there's an act of mitzvah to go out and get chametz so that you could fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu. This is not a possibility that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik raises at all. But the Minchas Chinuch is, of course, only possible according to one of the two understandings of tashbisu. The Chinuch tashbisu was just saying don't have chametz. It's absurd at that point to demand that someone go to the store to buy rolls so that he can fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu. It's only if tashbisu is something active. Even here, I don't think you have to say necessarily, but only if tashbisu is something active that you could begin to raise the mitzvah state of possibility that you'd actually have to go out and buy so that you could burn. Okay? Everyone okay with the first time? So that is in terms of... What? He tries to prove from actually showing him one way or the other. Okay, so that's in terms of beer. Now, guys, if you got a little lost there, get clue now, and we'll move on to other stuff. Why do we need to do a bedikah? So let's go to the first page of Pesachim, Ben Amelot. What's the purpose of Bedikat Chametz? I just want to highlight the question, what's the purpose of Bedikat Chametz, seeing as how we do Bittul anyway? Meaning, once we do Bittul anyway, this is agreed, let me just give you one information that's agreed upon. And we do Bittul, you no longer violate Balyam HaBalyam Matzeh. As long as you get up and say, I want to be Mevatel, I want to negate all the Chametz in my property, you can't violate Balyam HaBalyam Matzeh. So you might say, so we shouldn't have to do Bedikat. What are we looking for? Make life easy. Just do bittul and it's all over. Yeah.
Does bittul refer to your ownership of the chametz?
We'll discuss that also. We're going to try to get it all in 1 hour. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to get there. What is the mechanism of bittul?
Because, that word, the answer to that question, could influence...
Well, okay. Do I do that first, what bittul is?
Well, I'm asking if
you... logically, if we have to go that route?
Because it
should we do what bittul is before...
Yeah.
I don't think we have to, because no matter what bittul is, it solves Balyam Rav Balyam Matzeh. Okay? Great. So there's a famous, very famous Tosfos. This is the first Tosfos Sukkah. Let's look at the first Tosfos Sukkah. Okay? Orel Arba Asar Boken Chametz. In the night of the 14th, you check the Chametz. Pirish HaKudris. Rashi says, Shalola Horla B'Bayim Rabbayim Matzeh. Uh-oh. According to Rashi, why do you do this? Well, it's not good to have Chametz in your property because you'll violate a prohibition known as Bayra, not to have Chametz in your property. The Kashlari. Read has a question, the famous read. Kim Tzarech Bittul, Kedam Gemara, since you're going to do Bittul anyway, Habodek Tzarech Shivatel, because this Gemara will get to later, it says even if you do Bedikah, you still need to do Bittul, so you're definitely going to do Bittul no matter what. Umidaraita, and from the Torah, the Bittul Ba'al Masagi. Bittul alone is enough. Hamay Yitzhikul Cham Bedikah Kah, so why the Cham demand Bedikah? Who needs Bedikah Chametz? You're going to do Bittul anyway, because when they did Bedikah, when they instituted Bedikah, they say you also have to do Bittul. And Bittul solves your problem. It's an explicit Gemara. The Nira Luris, the Luris says, the Avah got the Sagi Bittul, Ba'alma, even though Bittul really is alone, Hechmiru Chachamim Livdo Chametz Luvaro. The Chachamim have a special stringency to check and get rid of it. Why? But it's not like Bedikah always involves getting rid of it, right? It doesn't mean like you check and then like, I have 17 pieces of Chametz in my house. But Bedikah is certain you check and get rid of it. Right? Why? Shelo yavo lochlo. What's the reason for the Tosfos?
Don't
come eat it separately. It's very interesting. According to Tosfos, this is why we start to match up here. According to Tosfos, Bittul solves Bali Ra, but Bittul does not solve the fact that it's prohibited to eat chametz. And having chametz around your property might not be good as far as that's prohibition. So we bring the Bedikah and get rid of it to solve the Israfim. That is the famous position of Tosfos. Okay, Bittul solves Balyra as much as you can want, but it's not going to come right around the house, so search and get it out so that you won't come to eat it. Now, Tosfos here asks not, he has one proof that he quotes for his position. There's more later in Daf Yud that talks about, do you have to go get a piece of bread in the rafters? Let me just look at it quickly. The Chayim Mashmah come on, it's implied later on in Daf Yud. The Balyra, the Rav has the following question. Kikar Bishmei Korah. You have a kikar in the beam, the heavens of the beam, way above there. Do you have to? Can you forget about it? Odilma zimin denafal. Maybe sometimes it'll fall. V'ati l'michle. What does the Gemara say explicitly? Sometimes it'll fall, and you might eat it. So the Gemara, in one context, explicitly raises the fear of eating when it's discussing whether you have to go climb up to the rafters there. So it says, Tosi, you see, Bidika is really about eating. Now Tosi asks themselves an obvious question, a very good question. Wait. There's no issue to have chametz in your house once you've done bittul. The only issue is to eat it. So what are you telling? You get rid of it because you might come up to eat it. But wait, says Tosi. There's a lot of things in this world that are treif. No one ever said it's us or two. How's that? Let's say your local Irish friend says to you, it's probably hard to find a treif candy bar anymore in America. We'll go with Twinkies for now. I think that's still treif, right? Is that the only thing that's actually treif anymore? All right, so he says, well, I'm going away. I'm afraid someone's going to steal my Twinkie collection. So can you house it while we're on vacation in Ireland? Right, so there's absolutely no prohibition whatsoever. There's no prohibition in housing Twinkies in your house. And Allah does not say, what?
Even over Pesach?
No, not over Pesach. The halacha does not say, well, don't have it in your house because you might come to eat. There's no such thing. So according to Tosfos, the reason why we do bedika is because of the Issur Achila, you have to ask yourself, why is it different than any other prohibition about eating food? Anyone want to make a suggestion? Yeah?
Well, like, Twinkies, like, you might be aware of them. Oh, yeah.
So that's what Tosfos says. So if you continue down in Tosfos, he has two answers. So skip to, I remember where we were actually. Why are we more machmir now than any other Isser? We didn't demand that you eradicate it. It's easier to make a mistake because chametz mutter all year. It's easier to, your instinct is to reach for the Entenmanns. Your instinct is not to reach for the Twinkies. Okay, so that's Tosfos. We have one probe so far in the ring that the, what's about you, Johnny?
He's in once in Twinkies.
I mean, Tosfos as well as you can have Twinkies because it's ingrained. You don't eat Twinkies. You know, many good other good kosher foods out there, you ignore Twinkies. But you're used to eating chametz all year round. Just this 8-day thing or 7-day thing that you don't. So therefore, there's extra stringency. The other thing Tosfos says, we skip down a little bit. It's also kind of interesting. And he says, Inami. You have the second shot there? Inami. Alternatively, Shani chametz. Chametz is different. Shechmir batorah. The Torah is machmir about chametz. How do I know? La'avor v'bali v'bali v'matzeh. Hechmiru chachamim levdok levaro afil hechad v'lo. Mishim v'lo atil v'lo. He says as follows. This is a very interesting shot. Different mode of thinking altogether. The second shot is the Rabbanim picked up on clues. The Torah gave clues when to be machmir and when to not be machmir. And the message the Torah was communicating to us about chametz was, be machmir. Had the Torah communicated us that message, and chametz specifically? Because the only time where the Torah says, don't own it. So the other Torah says, don't, that's a new thing. We never heard about an issue to own things. So even though it's still kind of is different here, it's not that the issue to own things is the problem, and that's why you need the Torah. Not that they're regulated. No. Since the Torah prohibits ownership, even though I solved that problem with Beetle, but the Torah has given us a tendency, namely, take chametz more stringently than other prohibitions. So the Rabbanan said, in that spirit, will demand bedika. Why are we demanding bedika? Not because of Bal Yerah, but because you might come to eat it. It's only that Bal Yerah reveals that the Torah takes a more stringent posture towards chametz. Okay, so I'm going to summarize the two interpretations here of Tosfos. So according to Tosfos, you have the following two possible ways. He says, there's no way that bedika is to solve Bal Yerah. Rashi should not have said that. Bedika does not solve Bal Yerah. Bedika is to solve something else. Because Bittul solves Bal Yerah. And the Tosfos assumes this all the way through. Bittul solves Bal Yerah, Bedika is to solve, you might come to eat it. Then you have a question. Why do Bedika, you might come to eat it? You don't have the Bedika for trade food. Says Tosfos one of two things. Either what we said is more of a fear for chametz, or Bal Yerah teaches you something. It's true we solve the Bal Yerah problem. The Bal Yerah teaches you that chametz is a more chamor item. We plug that in, and therefore we demand Bedika. They don't compete. I mean, we clue into the Torah's perspective on chametz. Yeah.
Does bedika here refer to the specific bedika we do at Erev Pesach, or the cleaning process?
No, getting rid of chametz.
In general.
Yeah.
So then it seems clear that bittul b'di'evad.
Why?
Because otherwise, I mean, the whole idea of not having chametz. I mean, you do.
No, bittul solves bedika is a rabbinic creation according to this. Bittul solves the problem. What did the Torah tell you? Don't eat and don't have it in possession. So you do bittul and you're saved, and just don't eat it. Right? You wouldn't necessarily have to get it out of the house. The Rabbanan came along and demanded bedika for one of these two reasons, according to Tosfos.
There's only bittul. Oh, sorry.
Okay. And there's a Ron, just in the interest of time, I'm not going to do the Ron inside, but there's a Ron in the back, and I was curious, the first page of Ron Himsachim, where the Ron tries to justify Rashi. And the Ron wants to say that the Torah gave me two options. I have two options. I could either do Bedika or Bittul, but if it's a Torah principle, that means which problem is Bedika solving? So he says Bedika is actually solving Ba'ira. And how do I solve Ba'ira? Well, I could either negate the Chametz to my property, or I could get it out of my property by looking for it and getting rid of it. So he has Bedika solving Ba'ira. Why do I need both if there are two methods? So says the Ron, again, the back of the Gemara, says this is according to the Tosfos. This is how you draw the line according to the Tosfos. According to the Ron, the beef is also related to Ba'ira. Why? So says to the Ron, you know, bittul is something that's done internally in the heart. Things that are done in the heart, we always have the possibility that someone will intentionality, or there's a certain finality to action that intentionality doesn't have, a certain definitiveness. Intentionality can be messed up. Like, you can imagine someone thinking there, saying the words kol chamira, while they're thinking lovingly about the intimates in the pantry, right? So we don't trust people in, we don't know what's going on in the inner life. Let's just deal with it in objective, physical terms by getting rid of the chametz, which obviously opens up the question, why do you still need bittul according to him? But the Ron's justification of Rashi is that bedik and bittul are a two-pronged approach towards balira, not towards the isra achira. They're both for balira. Why is bittul alone not enough? Well, the truth is bittul alone is enough, but we're afraid about your intentionality, therefore we demand bedik. Guys, if you just navigate, you can all give a famous shiur and discuss this with Tamir Zamir. There's a very well-known debate. What is the purpose of bedik ha-chametz? According to Tosfos, so you don't come to eat it. The Rabbanan, according to the Ron, it is also trying to solve the problem of balira, because the bittul might not be that problem. Yeah.
I didn't think of this on my own. I heard this before. I think there's another way of explaining Rashi.
Yeah, let's hear it. Good. Let's hear it.
That if during Pesach a piece of chametz that you like did bittul on, that you see it, and instead of like being consistent with your bittul and saying, "Oh, that's a piece of dust," you actually look at it and say, "Oh, chametz, okay, pick it up, it becomes yours."
You're referring to Gemara. You're going to reach early. Okay, so wait till we get there. Who else had a hand? Wait.
Putting up the run, what do we need?
Wait, that's a Gemara. It's explicit Gemara. We get there. Okay? Great. Yeah.
Turning to Tosfos' first answer, if we were to factor in something like kidney or God forbid. And they say, well, why can we keep the kidney around our house? If the whole reason for, you know, if we're saying that, like, oh, you know, kidney we have all year round also, we should have to at least put them away.
No, because the fact, you're right, but the fact is kidney is just a meal, it's not a...
Okay, but if it falls under...
No, because the ones at stake are not right. In chametz, you would say, this is an issur d'oraita, and you're not going to make, you're going to make a mistake, so let's be careful. Kinyan is a minhag, so you don't have to be so careful about minhagim. You don't have to make a fence around the minhag. Okay? Great. Now, what is bittul? Before we get to why you need bittul, what is bittul? We did what is biur. We did why you need bedika. What is bittul? So let's go to dal and bet. You guys get a little survey in the first part of something here. Dal and bet. Okay. Now there's a principle comes up in halacha a few times that when the rabbis make up an obligation, they could also make up leniency, which makes a lot of sense, meaning they're the creator of the obligation to begin with. They could plug in a loophole. Okay, I'm actually going to go on a tangent that I can't resist now, but it's nothing to do with the shiur, but I'm going to mention it anyway. There is a famous debate between the Rambam and Ramban. The Rambam says, why do you have to listen to rabbinic edicts? Well, there's a prohibition term called Lo Tasur. So the... where did this go? Well, the Rambam attacks the positions. The Rambam says, but the Rambam's attacking the Bahag. Is that right? The Rambam is attacking the Bahag. So the Rambam says, but that means every time you're fulfilling the Rabbanah, really you're fulfilling a Deraita. So why there are a lot of differences between a Rabbanah and Deraita? So it's a Savik Deraita L'chumra, Savik Rabbanah L'chula. If you say every time you're the Rabbanah, there's really a fulfillment of Lotasur. So there's various ways to deal with it, but the Ramban has a wild interpretation where the Ramban says that's built into every Takan Rabbanah. Meaning, built into every Takan Rabbanah is the fact we're going to institute this, but if it's a case of Savik, you could drop it, which is not the easiest way out of it. It's just an interesting point I mentioned as a side point. Any case, let's go. So over here on
the
dollar
bet. With the minhag, you can say the same thing with the minhag. The minhag over time takes on the right component.
Yeah, it's harder with the minhag. Okay, it's harder with the rabbanan also. There are other reasons why the distinction between rabbanan right, it's harder to get a rabbanan type answer. Okay, and just look at Dalet and Bet. The reason I bring this up is the Torah says we can be leaning about who does the bedikah. Why? Skip to the asterisk for 1 second, okay? See the asterisk? And Dalet and Bet, second asterisk. The midrite of the bitl ba'alva sagile, because what's true biblically? Bitl's enough. Therefore, hemnu rabbanan rabbanan. So since bedikah is only a rabbinic need, right? Bitl works, this is what Tosus quoted. So the rabbis can believe who they want to believe, right? Hemnu rabbanan rabbanan. They want to believe something for bedikah chametz, they could, because, I mean, it could be even like a katan. You normally wouldn't believe a katan, but it could be if your 11-year-old says he did the bedikah, you could believe him. Why? Well, the whole obligation is rabbinic. They could decide to believe who they want. Okay, great. Now look at Rashi here. Bebitl ba'alma. Famous Rashi. So Rashi, bitl ba'alma. Where did bitl come from? Dechsev tashbisu. V'loksiv tivaru. Says Rashi, bitl comes from an inference in the pasuk. The pasuk says tashbisu. It doesn't say tivaru. It doesn't say burn. It says get rid of, eradicate. Vashpata delev yashpata. Says the Rashi, it's all based on this word. The word tashbisu is purposely chosen. Tashbisu is really bitl. Remarkable idea in Rashi. Tells us to tax it like crazy. For the word tashbisu, we have good words for burning it. Burning it is tivaru. Why do you say tashbisu? Because it's hinting at the way to get rid of it is to do bitl. If you jump to Tosfos, people are not to come with the right, that Tosfos attacks this. He proves that the Gemara does relate tashbisu to havara. So what is bitl according to Tosfos? If it doesn't come from this pasuk, where in the world does it come from? So look at Tosfos in the right, let's skip down to the omeri. We'll skip to the answer. You guys have that? The omeri? Mitosus Dibaratcha Midoraita. He's with me, Vomeri. Vomeri, the Midoraita, Bita Abba Sagi. Why? Mitam, the Acher Shibit Lo, Havi Hefker. Vyatzam Rishuto, Umutar. What's the reason going to Tosus? Why does Bittel work? Not from the inference from a Pasuk. Bittel is employing a well known halachic principle, namely Hefker. Because what's Usher? It's Usher to own it. He goes on to quote, as they say, there's a famous quote which says, "Lo yirelacha, you shouldn't see your chametz." But let's say the post in the middle of Pesach, the postman comes to your house, he's holding a piece of pizza, right? So there's chametz in your house. Have you bothered anything? Absolutely not. Bothered about it, that doesn't mean it can't physically be in your house. You can't own it. So the postman walks in holding it. You have not bothered anything. Says Tosfos, "What's bittul? Very simple." Bittul is not an inference from a pasuk. It's employing a principle elsewhere. Just like I could have my property, I could say, everyone wants this minchas chinuch, it's now hefker. So I could do the same thing for my chametz. Anyone who wants this chametz, it's hefker. That's why bittul works. Bittul is simply hefker. I get it out of my ownership, and that's why I solve my problem of bali ra, ubali matzeh. Yeah?
According to what Tosfos said in the other Gemara, that the idea of isor achila is you're used to eating chametz all year round, so you don't want to have it around, so you might come to eat it. Yeah. But the fact that it's not yours,
that's
it's
a question of bedikah, though. That's not
going to
do with
no, but no one else has claimed it. No, anyway, you're allowed. Who says you can't claim your own hefker? You're also one of the. Let's say I see this minhag as chametz hefker. Anyone wants could have it. I come back in a week, no one's taking it. It's not usher for me to pick it up. Right. I'm part of everybody. Part of. It. Okay. I mean, it might be a little weird. You guess the question. What if I say it's hefker, and as I'm putting it down, I claim it myself? Like, what status does that have is a good question. I just looked it up earlier. That's true, actually. Josh is absolutely right. Like in Firmal and Mitchell schools, they learn about Hefker, that's what they do. Right? In fourth grade, you make your mafia or your ball, and just make sure but you do it when you're closer to it than anybody else. When the other kids run, you pick it up. So put it on in our book of mean halakhic tricks to play. We'll put it in that book. Yeah. Why does it help?
Because your previous owner was hefker.
It's not a question of ownership, though. It's a question of who made it. Oh. Well, otherwise, you could just give it to another Jew, right? Doesn't solve the problem. It's a question, of who. We wouldn't have to use the hefker method. it's a question of making it, not a question. But you're right, by the way, in terms of if you do something that requires repair, and if he repairs it, then I was just reading about this. There's also a tangent. There's nothing to do with this, but I was just reading about it. How do you do it when you buy a new toaster oven? What are you supposed to do? Because presumably you're not crazy about dipping it in water. So there's three approaches. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says you only have to dip the part that touches food. I'm not sure practically if you could do this. Is the electrical stuff all in the back? He seems to assume that you could put the. It's even possible. Is it possible physically? Maybe that's maybe you could detach it.
Dry it off and then.
Right. But most seems to think that you could get the food part in the water and not the electric wire in the back.
That's assuming that you can do it.
Yeah. That's what Moshe says. Obviously, if you can't do it, you can't do it. But that's what he says. He suggests, which is a cooler, by the way, because he said you don't have to get the whole kli into the water. Another approach is to take it apart and have it drooped back together. Obviously, you have to have someone who's good at that. Might not be a good approach if you can't. Like
how apart is a part?
Right. but it has to be something that's not so easy to do. Like it takes certain professionals.
Is this being tested? Like, is this part of the? No, is tested. Everyone is tested with real bread.
Everyone is tested.
All these toaster ovens are actually tested with bread.
Was I doing anything?
That's true. We're talking about.
I'm not talking about comments. This was a tangent. I'm sorry.
But toaster ovens.
Why is it tested with real bread? I'm not doing anything.
They've actually had.
No, okay. When your non-Jewish friend gives you a pot that they use for tray food, then there's an idea of getting the tray from his out through Haggalah or something like that. Right? When you feel a scale, it's never been used before. You simply put it in a mikvah. It's not a question of getting tray out. There's no tray there. Okay, the third method, which is kind of funny, some people say, you just put it in and wait. You just wait till it's dry, it's not a problem. That is the third method that I know of. I was just reading an article about this, but that's a tangent.
You dip it in water?
Just put the whole thing in. I never tried it on my own, but the claim is that if you just wait, that's not a big deal. They just wait a couple of days, and it's not going to short your. But again, I'm not an expert. I remember what we did with that toaster. That's no how we did. I don't remember anymore. Okay.
Wait.
Yeah.
You think that they actually put bread in every toaster?
We're not discussing that. You're discussing very. As you're biking around the Canary, you can discuss this.
Counterclockwise.
Okay.
Let's
go. Okay. I know why I did that tangent. It wasn't relevant at all. So Tosha says, "What's Bittel? It's Hefker." Very simply, it works. That's why it works. Now, the Ramban, right here at Abdallah and Abed, the Ramban and Pesachim has a huge critique, like an 8-part critique of this Tosfos. So among the Ramban's questions are, he says,
Ramban,
Rav Moshe ben Nachman, in his commentary on Pesachim. He says, well, I understand, if Bittel is just Hefker, what's the most basic question you could ask? Why call it
Bittel?
Says the Ramban, we got a perfectly good word. We use it all over Shas. Hefker. We use it in the Dargah. We use it in Bababasra. It's a wonderful word. All of a sudden, comes up Masechet Pesachim, we forgot it. We felt the need to use this other word called Bittel. So the Ramban, if it's another term, there must be another term because it's another concept. It's a pretty good question. Then the Ramban says, if you look at the halachos of Bittel, none of them match up with the halachos of Hefker. For example, you cannot supposed to do Hefker on Shabbos. You gotta do Bittel on Shabbos. For example, there's a position that Hefker is supposed to be in front of three people, but Bittel doesn't have to be in front of three people. For example, Hefker is done verbally, but you can do Bittel with your heart. Just one more. There's an interesting position in the Dharma in this debate. It's not the mainstream position. But there's a position in the Dharma of Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, you know how Hefker works? I'm after this. It's still mine until somebody else picks it up. This is a famous position of Rabbi Yossi. It's not the halacha. But you could ask according to Hefker. When I say this man is connected to Hefker, does it become ownerless immediately?
No.
Does it now belong to humanity until someone takes it? Or do we say it's still mine, it's like a gift waiting to happen. And the gift happens when somebody picks it up. Here's the position of Rabbi Yossi in the Dharma. Now the obvious question emerges, wait, if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, what happens in terms of Bittel Chametz? You've got a big problem. What if I do Bittel and nobody else comes to acquire it? So it's still mine. So says to us, Ramban, why did we raise this issue? If Bittel is just Hefker, we should say, Gvalt, Rabbi Yossi's position makes everything terrible. Right? But the Gemara doesn't say that. It must be because Bittel... it's not Hefker. So Ramban really, in a very ferocious attack, tries to argue that Bittel cannot be equated with just old Hefker. Yeah?
A question. In the text of what's said, what most people say,
yeah.
You say with Bittel, you say Labatel, the Lahabe Hefker, Ka'athira, the Ewa. So you're saying two things. You seem contradictory to each other.
Well,
if it's something that's still enough for something to be called
Bittel. We're getting it. So I think Daniel's right. It's interesting that our text of Bittel seems to be like borrowing Rashi and Tosfos together, right? Bittel, but we'll have a Hefker Gafidar. So there's a Ramban. The Ramban's answer is very interesting, but to understand the Ramban's answer, we have to get to our last Gemara today. Go to Vava Medbet. George, do you want to say something?
No, I
don't. Vava Medbet. Can we get to our last topic, which is why do we need Bittul if we do Bidika? And we're also going to get to the answer to the Ramban for what is Bittul. There we go. Ready? Amr Yudim Rav, right after the two dots on the bottom. Amr Yudim Rav, Abode, Sarf Shivatel. If you do Bidika, you still need to do Bittul. My Tama. Why? Why isn't Bidika good enough? E name Mishum Pirurin. If you'll tell me because Pirurin are? Crumbs. I mean, what's the simplest job? Because my bedikah is not foolproof. Bittul is foolproof, and bedikah isn't. So maybe the reason why we need bittul is because my bedikah misses crumbs under the bed. Maybe that's why. Wait. Hello, Chashivi. Very interesting. Lara. What does it say? Crumbs don't matter. It sounds like crumbs don't have to be taken into account at all. We don't care about crumbs. But wait. If we don't care about crumbs, bedikah seems like a wonderful method without having to do bittul. So our question is back and forth. Why do we need? Why do we need bittul? But obviously, there's actually a few hundred years of housewives. I'm not reading this very carefully, but they ruined the Kashiv. But here we go. Or house husbands for that matter. So, if you skip down to Amar Rav, let's skip to the answer. Okay. See what says Amar Rav about 8 lines to the bottom, 9 lines to the bottom. Got it? Amar Rav, Gzeira. What are we afraid of? Shema Yimtza Gluska Yafa. Here's what you're talking about. You'll find it's a famous phrase, Shema Yimtza Gluska Yafa. I tell you, it's nothing to do with this, but I can't resist either. And I once ran seminars for Jewish high school kids in Australia. So we played Boulder Dash. You ever play Boulder Dash?
Yeah.
So we had to pick phrases, and we were given like 6 choice Talmudic phrases, none of the kids would know for sure. They had to pick what they thought it was. So one of them was Shema Yimtza Gluska Yafa. We came up with like 6 wild approaches, what it really meant. Never got that one. Okay, but what it really means, what Shemi Yimsa Gluskiyafa really means, is maybe you'll find a particularly luscious morsel. And what are we afraid of? You'll find a luscious morsel. Now, why is that a problem? V'daite Eluya. And? Daite Eluya. And you want it. So what? So look at Rashi. V'daite Eluya. Chashuba Hibeinav. It is important in his eyes, sarfa, and he has mercy on it from
burning.
Meaning, what's the problem with bedika? Well, you do bedika, oh, that intimate, oh, it would be a crime, it would be a sin to burn those intimates, right? And therefore you won't get rid of it. And therefore he demands bittul. That's the way Rashi takes it. Shem yimtza gluskiyafa, but maybe in the context you'll find a particularly nice morsel of chametz, and you won't want to get rid of it. Tosfos does not like this.
How does that help?
Yeah. What? How does bittul help? Because once you do bittul, it doesn't belong to you anymore. We're not afraid of achila here. We're afraid of bal yirah. So if you do bedika and you encounter shem yimtza a gluska yafa and you don't get rid of it, so you're going to violate bal yirah bal yimatzeh.
If you're like so attached to the cake that you like.
There's a lot of preservatives. It's going to last till after Pesach.
No, but you're so attached to it that bedika doesn't work. Like you're still going to.
Ah, you're saying why should the bittul work? Especially if you deal with the internal problem. No, because bedika goes to getting rid of it. Maybe that's it. Bittul you could live with. All right, so in my heart I'll say I don't want this. But to actually burn it, that's a crime. It's a good question, though. Better than my answer.
Can you eat things
you have to eat?
What?
Things part of is that a valid form of
Tashbis. There's a famous Balmor that says this. There's a Balmor that says that eating is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbis.
You call it.
Okay. In any case, let's go. The Gemara Tos doesn't say this. Look at Tos to us. Let's look at Tos. What does Tos say? Perish the low battle me'ilah k'mo piruin. According to Tos, it's not that there's a moment that I decide I can't get rid of this. It's too precious. It's just, if there's a gluska yafa, it's not like crumb. I mean, that's the point. Maybe there'll be a sizable piece that is chashuv, and you'll miss it in bedika. Okay, now the Gemara has the following question. Wait, look at the next line of the Gemara. Because the seed didn't see Rashi, tells us why Tos doesn't like Rashi. V'chi mishkachas lelevatle. What's the Gemara's next question? Just do bittul whenever you
find it.
So Tos points out that according to Rashi, this question makes no sense. According to Rashi, what was the previous answer? There's a gluska yafa, you're not going to want to get rid of it. So how can the Gemara then say, well, when you find it, get rid of it. The whole point was, you're not going to get rid of it. So Kohen Tosfos makes more sense. Kohen Tosfos, there's a glus kiyafa, the problem is, it's chashuv, and therefore, it's not like the ruin. But then, when you find it, you could say, well, now that you found it, get rid of it. Yeah.
Well, he holds that bittul is hefker.
Okay.
So then you are getting rid of it. Just in
no, but this is all saying why you need bittul. I mean, this is what's going to happen if you didn't have bittul.
Oh.
Right, so we're going to be done with bittul. Okay, now, here comes the key answer. Maybe just, well, why don't you just wait? So again, the question, why don't we just rely on bedika, just do bedika, and you'll get rid of all your chametz. And if you happen to find anything, so the second you find it, you will get rid of it. We can do away with bittul. Answer, dilma mishkacha le levatar isura. Maybe you'll find the chametz. Levatar isura. Levatar. After the isur is kicked in, here's the key point, we can bring it all together. Dula birshute kaime. If you find the chametz after this is kicked in, it's not in your property anymore. There's a paradox here, guys. The paradox is, once the issur of chametz kicks in, you can't do bittul anymore. You can only do bittul before. If you find chametz on Pesach, guys, let's say you forgot, oh no, I left my brownie in my coat pocket. Right, let's say it's in a package. Right, I left my brownie in my coat pocket. Don't say, I'm a mavatal this brownie, it is meaningless. What you need to do is toss it in the garbage. Right, do not be mavatal it. Now, why doesn't it work? You can't do bittul anymore. There are two things that really aren't in your property. When the Torah made it as if it's in your property. These are the two things. Bar b'rishut rabim, a pit in the b'rishut rabim. Let me explain this and we bring the whole story together. Okay. There's a paradox in chametz. The paradox is as follows. Let's say this watch is aser ba'anah, right? This Shmuel's watch is used for pagan ritual. Right, by German fellows. So now it's Aser Ba'ana. Right? So we say, well, Shmuel is the owner of the watch. He just can't use it. So maybe at some point that's absurd. Right? What does it mean to be the owner of something that you can't use? So it could be when you can't use something, by definition, your ownership starts to recede. Well, what does it mean? It's a meaningless concept. Ownership is the ability to use. It's a debatable point. But let's say no, selling is benefit. Selling is benefit. Let's say, for the sake of argument, I realize it's a bit quibble at this point, guys, but go with me for a second. Bear with me for a second. So, if it's aser bana, you don't own it. But that means chametz is a halachic paradox. Because chametz, when it becomes aser to have, it's also aser bana. So, really, those two halachos should solve each other. Yeah. So, there's a special principle that even, that's what Rabbi says, even though it's really not yours, the Torah makes it as if it's yours, and you violate Bali Ra and Bali Matzeh. But since it's not really mine in a full sense, that's why once Pesach starts, I can't do Bittul. Because I can't do Bittul with something that's really, it's not really mine, it's only like a fiction. And Rav Elazar brings a parallel. What's a parallel? I dig a pit in a Shutra Bin. Does that pit belong to me now? No, but when someone falls into it, I am responsible. Says Rav Elazar, it's as if the Torah, in a fictional way, makes me the owner of the pit. In the same way, since Rabbi Elazar the Torah, as if in a fictional way, makes me the owner of chametz, which I didn't take care of, even though the reality is I'm not really the owner. So let me just sum up what we have. That part was confusing. I saved this for the end, because it's the most confusing part of the matter. Okay, why do you need to do bittul? Isn't bedika enough? Says the Gemara, maybe there's a nice piece, and it's a nice piece that I'm only going to find on the second day of Pesach. If I find a nice piece like the Pesach, I no longer can do bittul because it's not really mine anymore. Therefore, we say do bittul before it because maybe you'll miss a nice piece. Right? But if you're afraid of the nice piece, do bittul, and you have to do the bittul before it because you can't do the bittul on Pesach. Because once Pesach kicks in, it's not really yours anymore. Okay, everyone got that? Okay, now there's Moda Ramban, and we're going to wrap up all share. So if you remember, the Ramban attacked Tosfos vociferously. Yeah.
If you find it on the second day, you haven't done bittul, this is a problem.
If you find it, what do you do if it's yom tov? Is that your question?
No.
If you find it, you haven't done bittul, it might be a problem. I don't get this. It depends a little bit on how you read the Gemara between Rashi and Tosfos actually. But you need to get rid of it. I mean, you need to throw it out somewhere.
If you take that logic, let's say you don't do bittul, and there's a piece of chametz that you never see on.
Okay, so there's one issue I'm not going to get to. I was trying to cover everything in an hour. But there's a question about, is there a difference between chametz yadua and chametz ein yadua? Is there a difference in status between chametz you know about and chametz you don't know about? Which this gemara is one of the key sources. There's a I just mentioned very briefly, just so you'll know about this. Food for thought, one might say, that in chametz u'matzah, perek bet. Sorry, couldn't resist that one. Perek bet alocha bet. The Rambam, according to our Gersus, says, what is Hashpata? It's Bittul. It sounds like Rashi. But the Kesef Mishnah is another version of Rambam, where he says, listen to this very carefully, my Hashpata is the way I'm Hishi Yastir HaChametz HaYadua Lo Mishuto. The Chametz you know about, you get out of your property. V'she'eiru Yadua Yivat Lo Belibo. So according to the Kesef Mishnah, according to the Rambam, Bittul is only for Chametz. She'eiru Yadua. Most Mepharshim disagree that Bittul works equally for Yadua or Any, but I don't want to get into that distinction because it's just going to complicate matters for us right now. Yeah.
What I was going to ask is, assuming that you don't really own it because it's Aser Lehana, does it automatically come back to you after Pesach if you never did Bittul?
Now that's a good question. Why should Chametz after Pesach stay yours? I guess this like pseudo ownership that you had all through Pesach, but Chametz after Pesach is also Aser. So, might have the continuing. I need to think about that. It's a good question. Yeah.
If when you say bittul, you mean half to. When you pick it up and throw it away, does it become yours again?
Well, if I did bittul, I don't
know. If you say that my bittul means half to. If I pick it up and throw it away, does it become mine again?
No.
That would stay free. Now I own it again.
That's a key question. I guess you'd have to say that I'm throwing it out without making an opinion. That this belongs to nobody and I have the right to destroy it, even though without. You said very interesting, Daniel. It turns out that I could destroy Hefker. I don't need to acquire Hefker in order to destroy it.
And generally, you're allowed to do that with things that are happening?
Well, the only question might be Baal Tashkis, but I think Baal Tashkis wouldn't apply here. That's a very good question. Let's say I walk in and there's a Hefker apple on the table and I light it on fire. So, what am I violating? It's not that I'm violating theft because who exactly am I stealing from? Unless you say there's theft from the collective of humanity. Right, but the only thing you could place under is Baal Tashkis, and it seems to me Baal Tashkis doesn't apply here.
Why not? It's food.
No, because when you do it for a good reason, it's not Baal Tashkis. Let me ask a question. When you throw your chametz before Pesach, why isn't it Baal Tashkis? Okay. So apparently, sometimes if you have a good reason, it might not be Baal Tashkis. Okay. Great. Where was I going? The Ramban. I'm going to try to wrap it all up. So it says the Ramban, brilliant Ramban. How does Bittul work? Bittul is very simple.
Ramban
says, if you read the bottom of Vav Bet, you understand why Bittul works. Because Chametz on Pesach really isn't yours. It's kind of pseudo yours. Since it's pseudo yours, it is easier to get it out of your property. That's why a new halachic concept emerges that doesn't exist anywhere, namely Bittul. I mean, Bittul makes the result is the same as Tosfos. It makes it Hefker. But the method is completely different. Because normally Hefker, I have a piece of property that is completely mine. So to get it out of my property, I need to do something called Hefker. Says Ramban, but Chametz on Pesach isn't really yours, because you can't really use it. It's only pseudo-yours. It's only legal fiction. To get rid of that, there's another mechanism altogether. Meaning, Bittul is the mechanism for getting rid of something that is pseudo-yours. The method is Bittul, which answers all the questions. What were the Ramban's questions on Tosfos? How come the laws of Bittul are consistently different than the laws of Hefker? You don't need three people. You can do it on Shabbos. You can do it in your heart. Says, we don't wait on Rabbi Yossi's position, says to Ramban, it's all very simple. Because it's a different mechanism. The result is the same. That it's a different mechanism because the ownership to begin with is different. And that's what Bittul is. According to the Ramban, and that's why it's a different term, because Bittul is a unique concept in Chametz. Can I just sum up everything? I'll take one question on some of those here. Yeah.
At the time that you do Bittul, it's not
pseudo, it's pretty good. Okay, you have to say this follows. Bittul, you're right. Bittul sets up something. You know what you have to say? That the Ramban says is very strong, actually. The Torah only gives me the pseudo ownership if I haven't expressed my distaste for it before it. But I've expressed my lack of this. It's like I put a stop to it. It's like I write, you know, Torah, don't give me that pseudo ownership. I'm not interested this year. That's what Bittul is. But that's still different than Hefker. And the Bittul is only allowing the Chametz to not be mine like it really shouldn't be mine. It's not moving it out. You understand what I'm trying to say? He basically says the Torah only does this if I haven't shown a lack of desire for the Chametz. But if I've shown a lack of desire, the Torah doesn't give me the pseudo-ownership to make me violate Bali Rao Bali Mitzvah. That solves your problem, right?
But what does it do then in that case?
What do you mean, what does it do? It doesn't give it to me. The Torah says, if you haven't indicated any desire not to have it, we give it to you. If you've indicated such desire, we don't give it to you. So bittel prevents the Torah from giving me the pseudo ownership of chametz, which is still a very different mechanism than hefker.
But the end result is hefker.
Yeah, the result is hefker.
So if you, so that goes to the question in terms of chametz after Pesach. If it's, if it has that as a hefker,
yeah,
then it's very easy for you to reacquire the chametz you made hefker.
Yeah.
The bittel. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let me sum up the whole thing. I think you guys are some good Pesach back right now. Okay, so we don't know why we BOI particularly have bittel. We'll do the bittika first, that's the easiest word. Why do we need bittika? So bittel certainly solves Bali Rab. Why do you need bittika according to Tosfos? Well, you might come, if you leave it around the house, you might come
to eat it.
Why would we make a similar gzera with other things that are forbidden to eat?
Two reasons.
So either because chametz, it's more likely you'll make a mistake because it's mutter all year round, or because the Rabbanan are cluing into the Torah who treated chametz much more seriously. Great. What does the Ron say? Defending Rashi? No. Bidik is the Sa'al Al Yerab. Why don't we rely just on Bittel?
Because it's just the heart.
You can't trust what a person's heart is thinking. Therefore, the man, Bidika. That's the Ron. Famous Ron does. Great. That's why you need Bidika. Why do you need Bittel? That's the opposite question, right? The Gemara never asks why do you need Bidika. That's the Rishonim. The Gemara asks, why do you need Bittel? Just do Bidika. Once you did Bidika, you got rid of all the chametz. And crumbs don't really count. Says the Gemara, maybe it'll be a nice piece that you won't get rid of. And maybe you'll find that nice piece on Pesach. What's the key of finding it on Pesach? We find on Pesach, you no longer can do
Bittel.
So do Bittel before it, so you don't worry about the nice piece that you'll miss in the context of Bidika. Okay, there's a little bit of confusion with Rashi and Tosfos about the gluskei yafa, but I don't ignore that tonight. It's just it's too confusing. What, that's why you need Bittel. To make sure you have the gluskei yafa that you find on Pesach. Now, what does Bittel do? Rashi says Bittel works because Tashmitu is telling you, get rid of it, do Bittel. That's what Tashmitu means, not Tevaru. Says Tosfos, no, that's wrong. Tashmitu means burn it. What Bittel actually is, it's simply hefker. We simply plug in the concept from elsewhere. If you don't own it, you can't violate Bali Rav, Bali Matzei. Says the Ramban, but the rules of Bittel don't match hefker at all. And not only that, it's a different terminology. Why make up a new term if it's just hefker? Says the Ramban, if you read Bakim and Bet carefully, you understand. Because really, a Jew doesn't own chametz, because chametz is aser bana. It's a fiction. The Torah makes it as if you own it. If that's all it is, I can stop that process from happening by doing Bittel. That's what Bittel is. But it's a different mechanism completely than hefker. Finally, we get to beer. What about the burden? So the real question is Tashmisu an active mitzvah, or Tashmisu is an active way of saying, don't have it? Which, according to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, to mean the Rambam, once you say you don't have the burden, you can get rid of it any way you want, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik takes that to mean, all Tashmisu is saying is, don't have chametz. You don't have to actively do anything. On the other hand, according to Rav Yehuda, we don't postulate it, specifically burning, says Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, maybe there's an active mitzvah. The Minchas Chinuch takes that so far to say, maybe you really even have to actively acquire chametz in order to burning, which is not the halacha, by the way, although it's a minhag to do so. All right, gentlemen, I think you've all had a wonderful zman of learning here. And keep it up. Keep it up next month. I look forward to it.
My favorite video is to be.